We're thankful for the day the Lord has made, and as we're in December, some of you may have started listening to the local radio stations or different music stations, Pandora, Satellite Radio. There's a classic Christmas song called White Christmas, and it's interesting because there's not a whole lot of white right now. I don't know how everybody feels about that. I think those of us who got snowmobiles are really disappointed, and those of us who don't are kind of excited about that news. So however it is, we welcome in the first Sunday of Advent, so thank you for joining us today. Do we have any prayer concerns or moments of joy that we want to lift up? We have our fellows with the microphones as always, so please share with us any prayer concerns or moments of joy you'd like us to be aware of.
Just a simple prayer request. My mom unexpectedly got laid off from her job on Thursday night, and she's just having a really rough time with this. She's never been unemployed, and she's worked there for a really long time. So if you could just add her to your prayer request, that she'll find peace with this and understanding that everything happens for a reason. Her name's Diane.
Diana?
Diane.
Diane.
Thank you.
All right. Anyone else? Yes. Oh, we got to get Karen a microphone. Did anybody have anything up here? Okay.
I just want to remind everybody that next Sunday is an awfully exciting Sunday. It's the children's program, and I think it starts out at 5 o'clock Sunday evening with the children's program. And you know, we're really blessed in this church. We have 31 youths in the program. That's a lot of kids, and that translates into a lot of hope for the future for the church and for these kids in particular. You know, they're learning their parts and they're excited. And if any of you have gotten up on the stage in front of people, it's intimidating, and it's easy to just kind of get that deer in the headlights look, like, what was I supposed to say here, you know? But pray for the kids, pray for the leaders, and we're going to have a wonderful program, some music, some comedy, and then afterwards we're having refreshments. So we'll see you all next Sunday at 5 o'clock.
All right, thank you.
My brother Francis needs some prayer because he has some cancer concerns.
Francis, your brother, for some cancer concerns. Okay.
I have a joy. My biopsy came back, no problems.
Thank you. Praise the Lord for that. And thank you for sharing with us, because sometimes when we go to prayer, we're always wondering, so what happened? Let me get Karen real quick. Guys, I know you're hot on the trail there, but let me grab this real quick over here.
I just want to remind everyone that there's a cantata at the McGregor United Methodist Church the 14th, 15th, and 16th. That's Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. There is 3 performances. Friday night is at 8, Saturday is at 7. And Sunday afternoon is at 3. It's awesome.
Yes, yes, there was some standing room only last year, so we need to do that. Linda?
The Schramms have a joy. On Thursday, there were 127 new state police recruits who became troopers, one of them being our grandson, Jacob Stark. We're very excited about that. He'll be posted in Lapeer. So watch it when you're on 69. I don't want my grandson to be stopping this congregation for speeding, particularly the lady who drives the little green car.
That'd kind of be an interesting appointment with Grandma, wouldn't it? So, no, absolutely, for Jacob and for the rest of the recruits, for safety, and just what a blessing, they're so close to home. So, anyone else? Yes, Aaron.
Just a quick prayer concern. Over the summer, Mallory had a lump on her ankle, and we were watching it, and we prayed for it, and it disappeared, but now it's back. So, we don't know what it is, but paranoid mom, you know, just kind of that. So we're going to the doctor tomorrow to check it out. So just more prayers that it's okay. Nothing. So thanks.
You said it was her ankle? Okay. Anyone else? Yes.
I forgot one thing. Thursday at 5 o'clock, we're going to have a dress rehearsal here at the church for the Christmas program. 5 o'clock, and we know that kids probably have some sport things or whatever, but just try to make it somewhere in there, and we're going to feed them also. So we're going to have food and fellowship and a lot of practice. 5 o'clock Thursday.
All right, dinner and practice on Thursday. That sounds great. Okay. Anyone else? Linda's right behind you, Ron.
We just want to tell everybody that our soup supper was a huge success. We served 124, and we want to thank everybody that donated for it. I don't have a final tally on it, but we did very well.
All right. 124 with a lot. All right. Fantastic. What a great opportunity. Anyone else? No? Okay. Do we have any announcements that are printed on our order of worship? Do we have any other announcements? Yes. Deb?
We've got appetizers, we've got soup, and we've got a ton of desserts and a lot of milk, so I hope we got milk drinkers. But it's free fellowship for our congregation today, and I hope you all come back over.
Yes, we have a lot to be thankful for in ways we are hosting this week, and all that fruit is still here, so help us with that blessing. So please stay if you can. Do we have any other announcements? I do know at the conclusion of the service, when it's over, Tim Hill is going to address the congregational address for us, so if you please have time to stay before fellowship, we'll give you time to put all that stuff out, so that way before we dismiss after the service is over, so we'll welcome Tim up for that. Anyone else? No? Do we have any birthdays that we're celebrating this week? Any birthdays? Veronica. Oh. Is who? She's supposed to be. Well, I hope you find her before her birthday so she's not late for her party. Anyone else? Veronica, you said Saturday's your birthday too. Okay. Well, we're glad we have eyes on you. happy birthday to you. Anyone else this week? Mark? 3. Wow. 3. There's kind of an anniversary in there too, isn't it? Because it's kind of both of them together at the same time. And do you want to share anything there? It's the twins are turning 3. What a blessing, huh? Mark, we're thankful. We're thankful for all the time that you spend with them and the time that you've raised them up and you care for them during the service so Tina can be with us and helping out this way. So we're thankful for both of them. So if you get a chance to, say happy birthday to the twins. Anyone else? Oh, wow. So kind of a know what's coming, just don't know what day yet. Okay, great. Excellent. Wow, this is a big week for birthdays. Anybody else? Let's sing happy birthday for the ones we know of and the ones we're expecting. All right, what about anniversaries? Do we have any anniversaries that we're celebrating? Anybody decide that they wanted a destination wedding in December and got out of here? And no? Nobody? Okay. Well, let us go ahead and prepare ourselves. Linda, when the choir first started back up and you heeded that nudge and that whisper, you said that it's so great for us to prepare ourselves for a moment of worship. And so this isn't just an opportunity for the choir to sing, but it's to lay the groundwork for the Holy Spirit to be welcome in this place. So let's have the choir begin us for our time of worship. you please stay in that moment of prayer and join for asking for the Holy Spirit's blessing on our gathering today. Almighty God, there is so much in your name. There is so much power, so much mercy, so much grace. As we are gathered together today because of your great love for us and this opportunity for worship, so that we may show you with this sacrificial time today, Lord, that we can't thank you enough for all the miracles and blessings that you heaped upon us in our lives. And we ask that you would help us walk in a way that would bring you glory. We hope that you would work on our hearts, that it would reveal the face of Christ to each other in this entire world. Lord, this first Sunday at Advent, when we are waiting, when we are anticipating of what you will do in us, around us, and for us, Lord, we give you thanks and praise and ask that you be glorified in all that is said and done today in this worship space. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's been said in these moments for this tagline. You've seen it everywhere for our holiday season, Christmas, Advent. There's a phrase called, "Tis the season." And there's a lot of things that happen after that phrase, "Tis the season," right? One's to be jolly and look like this. And some other things, "Tis the season." "Tis the season" that we know in this church where we value music so much. It's an opportunity to sing. So you're going to notice there's a couple more opportunities that we have in our normal weeks to sing because, as I was talking to Tina, that we might not get through some of our favorite Christmas songs and the Advent songs if we don't add a few more in here. So I have you notice, I'm going to have us stand if we're able, the stand if you're able, and we'll sing together, "Good Christian Friends Rejoice," but then we'll sit if you'd like to. We're going to sit and we're going to sing "Joy to the World," okay? So the first song, if you please stand if you're able, and we'll sing together number 224, "Good Christian Friends Rejoice." This great song of our faith is proclamation of "Joy to the World," number 246, "Joy to the World." those moments, it's not typically our practice sometimes. I don't know if it's culture, if it's simply tradition, but we don't ask for amens and hallelujahs, but can we just proclaim that this is the season of the arrival of the Christ child, the Messiah? Can we, now this is how we normally treat the kids, but singing that song and see how loud it was, there's a lot of joy to be had simply because the Lord reigns and the Lord rules. Can we, on the count of three, just give a hallelujah to the Christ child's arrival and who would become our Messiah? One, two, three. Hallelujah. Amen. At this moment, it is our tradition, and we're honored to have the Loftus family here with us today. I would like to ask them to come up today as we begin our tradition this year in 2017, our first week in Advent. So if you guys will come up with us and bless us with this time as we intentionally set aside the meaning of Advent in this season for us.
Okay, this is the first Sunday in Advent. Today we will light the purple candle. This is the candle of hope. Advent is a time of waiting and hoping. We wait for the day when we celebrate again the birth of Jesus Christ. We hope that everyone will come to know God and to worship God.
When we look at the first candle, we remember God's promise. God promised to send a Savior to the people. When we listen to our scripture reading, we hear what the prophet Isaiah wrote about God. God is the potter who molds us. We know that the gospel witness is one that helps us understand that God is loving and just. God brings peace. This gives us hope. We anticipate again the birth of baby Jesus, remembering that Jesus helps us know God's love for us.
Isaiah 64, verse 8. Yet you, Lord, our Father, we are the clay, you are the potter. We are all the work of your hand. Think about a potter. A potter takes clay and forms it in a way that is pleasing. That is what God is able to do with each person. We are reminded that we are all the work of God's hand.
Let's pray. Dear God, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for the words of the prophet Isaiah that remind us that you are the source of our hope. Help us live each day, allowing you to form us in a way that brings about your kingdom here on earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for bringing us that message of hope today. And as the Loftus family finds their seats, we're going to sing together verse 1 of 219, What Child Is This? Do we have that on the screens? Yes, we're going to sing just verse 1 of What Child Is This? Number 219. Now we move on to our children's time, and as the children come up, if you haven't been with us for a while, or this is your first time, we have a time set aside for the children to all come up and gather together and share in some scripture and some time before they go down for their Sunday school lesson. And as the kids come up here, you know what happens to kids, and for those of you who have adult children, you'll definitely back me up on this, but children grow up, figuratively and literally. Most of them will reach literal heights that they're not quite ready for yet, and they will grow up in maturity as well. And am I the only one? Maybe you were thinking this when Justin and Julia went up there. Do you remember, it wasn't too long ago, they had to pull down that microphone, right, to lower it down to where they were. And oh, goodness, guys, I tell you what, that's you don't even have to bend down anymore. You just stand right there, and it's already up there. Do we remember that when they had to pull things down? So we are thankful that you're with us today for your size to have to bring the microphone down. But one day, you're going to be tall, and you're going to be older, and you're going to be more mature. And we're thankful that you're with us on that journey. And so we're all going to be able to look back, and do you remember when they were down here in this place, and now they're serving the Lord in different ways? And it just reminds us that we're preparing you to be older, aren't we? Right? Some of our Sunday school teachers, right? We're preparing you so that you will grow older and more mature in your faith in Christ. So for this time, we bring you thanks. Now, we have a new scripture verse, right, for us to work on this month. And it's printed in the bulletin for everyone to use. And this comes from Isaiah, right? Isaiah 61, verse 1. And so I'm going to read that out loud a couple of times, okay? This is from the prophet Isaiah. That means that he received a message from God, and this is what he said. Isaiah 61, 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has put me in charge of bringing good news to everyone. Let me read that one more time for us, okay? You can see it up there, can't you? Do you want to help me say it out loud? Do you want to do that? I'll do it, and then we'll do it together, okay? How many of you can read the screen, by the way, behind me when we read this? Good. So even if we're working on memorizing it, you'll be able to join me and read the screens the next time, okay? Let me read it out loud so we have it. Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has put me in charge of bringing good news to everyone. Okay? So before we ask everybody else to read that, isn't that important? Isn't that important that the Lord has put all of us in charge, right, of telling each other in the world who God is and God's great love for us and sending us Jesus, right, as a baby in a manger? And as we learn about that through this whole time, isn't it interesting to know that the Spirit of God wants us to praise Jesus? Isn't it neat that is what the Holy Spirit is, to remind us who we are, how much God loves us, and to proclaim how much we love Jesus in our lives? So this scripture is for us too, but he put us in charge of doing something, right? How many of us have had a job or a chore around the house? Anybody got a chore that they have to do? You have to do what? You have to babysit your sister? Oh my goodness. At grandma's, oh boy, you got to keep after her, right? She lets you have chocolate milk. Well, that sounds like a pretty good babysitter, doesn't it? I like that babysitter. You let me know if you're free when I'm on my own, because I like chocolate milk too. Anyone else have any chores, any jobs around the house? Anything you're responsible for? Do you have something you have to do around the house? You have to do what? Read to your dog? Feed your dog. Oh, I thought, wow, that's a unique chore that you got there. So you have to feed the dog, right? So the dog would go hungry if you weren't responsible, right, in feeding the dog. Yeah. Everybody takes turns. Yeah. Take care of your bunny. Do you both have a bunny, or you both take care of the same bunny? Okay, and that's Mr. Hopper. Who is it? What's the name? Annie. Okay. You have to clean up the house after mom and dad makes a mess? Oh, goodness. Look at Bristol's like, yes, we do. Yeah. Right. A lot of us have responsibilities with our pets, right? Eggs from the chicken coop. You are better than I, because I wouldn't know the first thing about getting any of those things. Oh, no. Well, let's go ahead and move towards where we wanted to go with this. It's good that we have some examples. So we all know what it's like to be in charge of something, right, to have a chore. Well, this is something that God has put us in charge of, and that's to bring the good news to everyone that Jesus lives for us and loves us, right, and gives us strength. So can you, those of you that can read, will you read off the screen, and we'll read this together, okay? The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has put me in charge of bringing good news to everyone. Now, that's good for us, but you know what? We always need to make sure that we're inviting the older kids, right, to do something with us. Would you? They're adults, aren't they? Yeah. Well, can you guys all read this? Because here, just as much as we expect the kids to know what we're in charge of, you know that's more important sometimes of all the chores we have around the house is being put in charge and empowered to share the good news with everyone. Can we recharge ourselves with memorizing this scripture as well as living that out this Advent season? So let's invite everyone to say this along with us, okay? One, two, three. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has put me in charge of bringing good news to everyone. That sounds great. Well, we know you got a lot of practice, so we'll get you downstairs. Let's go ahead and get in our prayer positions. We'll bow our heads and close our eyes and fold our hands. And will you guys repeat these words after me? Dear Jesus, thank you for showing us responsibility and using our voices for your purposes. Please bless us as we go downstairs. And bless our Sunday school teachers and everyone that's gathered here today. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Now, I think I saw that we have the flag up here. Can we have everybody line up? And do we have anyone that hasn't carried it in a while? Eddie, I saw your hand go up first. Would you hold that up real high so people can get behind you? Make sure everybody gets behind her and do those kind of things. You know what I really love? It's amazing when the children do what you ask them to do, right? Isn't that a good thing up here? And so they're doing what we ask them to do. And can I tell you that even though those times when I slipped up, did anyone hear me say peas, like the vegetable instead of please? Bless their little hearts. They did not say peas. They knew what Pastor Matt was trying to say, so they said please. I just look at those moments. I thought, you're not blindly just following. They understand where we're going with it. So thank you for those things. And I would ask us as the children are going downstairs before you go to the Lord's Prayer, those messages for our kids, that really is for us. The Lord has put us in charge of wonderful, life-giving news. Could we walk through the season of Advent knowing God has empowered us and put us in charge that the world would know who Jesus is and why we are celebrating the baby king? Would you please join me for the Lord's prayers? This is our tradition as we said in one body and one voice together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Always brings us a great message in a way that simply audible words won't happen, but we lift it in song. Thank you. Right, as the choir continues to set us the place for us to begin the message, as they find their seats, dear friends, it really is simply that. A call in our life in this season is, let me tell you a story. Let me tell you about Christmas. Oh, let's have the microphone on so we can hear you, Bob.
Let me tell you about the light. Up here, we get to see that wonderful window back there, and it's just absolutely gorgeous today. The light of God is shining on us.
It's an ambiance for us today, isn't it? We need it for sure. And so is that moment they find out. Thank you, Bob, for those words. That we have is simply, we are in charge to tell others about Christmas. As we move into this, there's a lot of Isaiah that seems like it comes up this time of year, and rightfully so, because they're prophetic words and such. And so I wanted to share with you Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 5. The prophet Isaiah, verses 1 through 5. And for those of you who ever studied Isaiah before, or taken a look at a lot of those things, it's interesting when you start looking at prophetic words, and so there are so many things that Isaiah said has already come to pass, so it's easy to kind of put those things together. But chapter 40, it's really interesting, sort of begins new. And I guess in a certain way, it's not in canon in the scripture, but there's sort of a part one and a part two to Isaiah. You know, and so now we're kind of picking up on part two of the entire prophetic book of Isaiah, and this is titled Comfort for God's People. And so in this moment, I'd like us just to think about, if you saw the title of the message, is an anticipation, right? We come today and celebrate, of course, the Candle of Hope reminds us of anticipation of what is the Lord going to do during this season of Advent. What's he going to do in here? What's he going to do in there? What's he going to do in here? What's God going to do out there? There's an anticipation that comes with what God will do, what mysteries will unfold, what miracles will happen, the anticipation of the season of Advent. Could we think of that as we hear these words, the first five verses of chapter 40, comfort for God's people. Verse 1 of chapter 40 reads, "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God." Verse 2, "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for in full, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness. In the desert, prepare the way for the Lord and make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God." Verse 4, "And every valley shall be raised up and every mountain and hill made low. Rough ground shall become level and the rugged places made plain." Finally, in verse 5, it says, "The glory of the Lord will be revealed and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken." There's an interesting authority that comes with prophetic words, doesn't it? Because it's almost the challenge of hear these prophetic words and know how they will come to fruition. Because they go from the voice of God. Again, we will look at that. But in that moment again, when last week we had that rare Sunday, remember I talked about, we have that rare Sunday in between Thanksgiving and the start of Advent. And so we got to talk a little bit about abundance and blessing and abundance and hope and abundance and love. And so when we think of that abundance, how appropriate that our first Sunday of Advent reminds us of the abundant blessing of hope. Of hope that in the dark times, generations, and days leading up to the arrival of the Christ child, the Messiah, that there was a lot of darkness and silence. People were waiting on the Lord. Yet throughout Scripture we see, even in this proposed silence and this sort of darkness, there is still faithfulness on waiting towards the Lord. Now, there is something that isn't mentioned in the scriptures, and it's called Amazon. Are you familiar with the website Amazon? It saves me a little bit of money because I'm an impulse buyer, you know, so if I was going to the mall, I would probably pick up way more than I ever needed or anything that anybody ever really wanted. But Amazon lets me read reviews of things that I want, and then if it's the right price and I'm going to be home when it ships, you know, I get that. So Amazon has brought to me a spirit of anticipation, but it's eager anticipation, right? I'm hoping that the box comes when it says. I with joy and excitement, click on that little notification that says, where is it? What part of Michigan is it in? It's going to be here soon. But, you know, there's also a very difficult or strenuous anticipation for the holidays. Because there's also that moment when it doesn't come when it's supposed to. Have you ever had that moment where I was promised and guaranteed and there's no reason it's in Sandusky's holding house, I saw it. And that was at 8 a.m., so why isn't it here? Kind of changes a different type of anticipation, doesn't it? You're asking your neighbors what's going on. All of a sudden, now you have questions. All of a sudden, now we are wondering, this isn't going how we anticipated. What's happening? In this season of Advent, as we come together and we look at the prophet Isaiah's words, we're reminded of this, and I think we can spin that around just so everyone can see maybe a little clearly. Our first candle of Advent for hope, as the Loftus family reminds us of. And that's hoping and waiting anticipation for the Lord's abundant blessing to be upon us. It means that it's more than we can contain, more than we can handle, more than we can even really describe. Because as we anticipate, what will the Lord do in our midst this year, in Advent 2017? How will the Lord show up in new and maybe repeated ways amongst us? How will the Lord use us, as he used Isaiah's prophetic words here, to continue to prepare the arrival of the Lord? Now, it's interesting because now I said this is sort of part two of the book of Isaiah, of this prophetic book, and it starts right out by saying, the voice of God says, comfort, comfort my people. And it's interesting here because when we take a look at this, long have we seen throughout the Old Testament that Jerusalem had been blessed over and over and over in many ways, and only sort of looking back on it through faithful eyes instead of a historical view, sort of Jerusalem really was blessed in abundance and grew even in spite of itself. Have you ever had that moment, you know, where things just continue to blossom and grow, and it just seems like it doesn't quite make sense, but we can still see those moments. And this is that moment when Jerusalem had, up until this point, long been unfaithful and had kind of forgotten about why they were blessed to begin with. And here's this moment when it says, the prophet Isaiah says, comfort my people, says God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed. Now, what's that mean? It doesn't go on to say that initially in here, although I would offer you to look at the rest of chapter 40. But in historic context, this is that moment when the Babylonian Empire had overtaken this area, right? But it's that moment of how can an empire, no matter how strong the army, overtake God's chosen place? Well, you can't overcome God. But see, Jerusalem was turning their back on that blessing. And so it wasn't just the might of the Babylonian army that showed up. It was the Lord removing his hands from unfaithfulness and allowed this time of persecution to happen. But see, this time is over now because the prophet Isaiah said that God says to the people of Jerusalem, their hard service has been completed. All the sin has been washed away from these moments. The time for going forward, the time for rescue and mercy is upon us because they have received from the Lord's hand double for all their sins, right? That means that their sentence, that means that this time of being controlled, of being dominated, of being enslaved, of being taken over has come to its end. And this is that moment where the Lord says, enough. Comfort will be upon you. You'll speak tenderly to them to know what? That I still love you. I wanted to think about these for a moment. Maybe it's a time we can clearly remember. Maybe it's even today. Has there been a moment when it feels like God's maybe abandoned you or a situation that you find yourself in? Or maybe that a family member or a friend that we lift up, it doesn't seem like they deserve to be overtaken by the Babylonian forces. But they are. God says, speak comfort to those that have been persecuted. Speak comfort to those who have experienced loss, who are vulnerable still. Speak comfort to them and tenderly to them, because comfort and tender says what? Have you ever whispered to a child that you have to hold like this? Right? Has anybody understood that sometimes, even when they're fussing, there still comes a time, right? Maybe you start bouncing like this, right? Because you're trying to bring them comfort. Because in the midst of their wailing, in the midst of their frustration, in the midst of their they can't communicate, they are completely subject to you, whatever you would have. Yet you speak to them tenderly so that they might be able to be reassured during all of the things going on, that they can hear your voice. If we see that when we do that to the children that we love, how much more so will God hold us in God's hands? And God would comfort us if we felt alone. That if we felt vulnerable, God would say, "And I will cover this vulnerability, and you will rest in my strength." Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, for they have been hurt, that they would be reminded of my love and turn back to their faithfulness. Now, something that we've heard so many times, especially when we look at our Lent season, we come back to this, right? When we walk through the Lord's ministry and the Lord's arrival, sometimes we look at the baptism of John the Baptist, we're reminded of this verse. Verse 3 says, in the midst of all this caring, in the midst of reminding the people of Jerusalem that God loves them even though they have just completed a very difficult journey and period of time. They're anticipating what the Lord will do. And when the time was right, the Lord revealed to them, "Shh, come back to me." Voice 3 says, a voice of one calling, and it says this, in the desert prepare the way of the Lord and make straight in the wilderness a highway for God. It's interesting to talk about that in the season of Advent, isn't it? Because we see that reminded of ourselves when John the Baptist is in the wilderness. Now, think about this when we think about there was no room for Jesus or the family in the inn, right? There was a moment where the Messiah was coming to save us, right? The ultimate blessing of God was in our world, and we didn't have room for him. My dear friends, if Jesus was to arrive today in this place, or our house, or our community, knocking at the door of our hearts, would there be room for Jesus where we are? It says, in the desert, prepare a way for the Lord and make straight a highway in the wilderness for our God. Now, you know, if we want to come to and from, if we want to do some shopping, we have to drive on some paved roads, don't we? Would you agree there's some highways that we need to take, right? Going 55 and whatever you choose to do beyond that. You didn't hear that. But would you understand that while we can take some back roads, the clearest way for us to get to a hospital, for us to get to some of the necessities that we might need that we can't get in town, don't we have to take a highway? Don't we have to take paved and sort of a straight road, right, to be able to protect us, to get that care of those things that we need? Yet it says, make straight in the wilderness. It said that Jesus will be coming in a way that's outside of those highways, because the people of the highways in this time, that they were not showing the Lord. They didn't have a place for the Lord. So the Lord had to come from the wilderness, had to come from around to join them, to call them from their busyness, to call the people of Jerusalem out of this slumber. And the path will be made straight on the outside of the world, that you will have to come seeking Jesus. And it might take us away from our routines. It might take us away from the things that we want to do if we are to look in the wilderness for God. Verse 4 says, every valley shall be raised up and every mountain and hill made low. And the rough ground shall become level and the rugged places a plain. What does that mean? That means that the way will be made. And it won't be made because it's convenient. It won't be impossible to traverse, because there's no way we can overcome that mountain or that rugged ground or that quicksand. But there's a moment in saying that when the Lord makes straight our path, when the Lord makes straight our path of hope that doesn't end, He will move the obstacles from our way. The Lord will make level the places we need to journey. Because where once there was a mountain, God said, I and my hand will make it low. When there are places that are too low and it could become danger of flooding and we don't even realize our own danger, God says, and I will pull them up to this place so your path will be made straight to me. Because in the wilderness, I will make a new place. And I will craft it to be our place where we will encounter the risen Christ. And finally, in verse 5, to put this together, the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And not a select few, but all of humankind together will see it. This is what the prophet has spoken of. These prophetic words reminding us that as we walk through this season of anticipation, whether it's eager anticipation of excitement, or maybe it's that anxious anticipation, whether we find ourselves looking forward to the past that may not be made straight for us, or whether we're joyful about the paths that come in this place, my dear friends, we should journey in Advent 2017 waiting for the paths to be revealed and for the Lord to make them traversable for us, so that we wouldn't be led astray of what God wants for us, but we would be led to encounter the greatest blessing of hope that all of creation will ever know. When we look of that blessing and understanding we can't separate the cradle from the manger from the grave, or the cradle from the cross, it's in this moment that we gather together, because it is the first Sunday of Advent, but it is also the first Sunday of the month, and it is our tradition in this place, in this church, is that the communion table would be open for us. And when we think about a season that literally is about anticipation, waiting on God, we can be invited to a table when we recommit ourselves to that serving while we are waiting. That serving in faithfulness in our season of anticipation, to know that if we are waiting and serving the Lord, the path will be made straight for us. Because even on the night of intraversible paths, even when there were mountains all around and dangers there, Jesus found peace in a room amongst all those that he loved when he knew he would be betrayed in one of the most excruciating fashions known to all creation. Jesus still said, in this hour before betrayal, I will lift up this bread and ask for God's blessing on it. And when the blessing was received, only then did Jesus break it in front of those that he loved, the disciples that he walked with. And when he went to that upper room, the mountains were amongst him, the dangers were there. Yet, when he said, my body will be broken for you, for the forgiveness of sins, be reminded of my sacrifice this time and always, as often as you take of it, that I, Jesus the Christ, that came for you, even when you didn't have room for me, I suffered, and I will die because of my love for you. Would you remember that it was my broken body that was destroyed for your sin once and for all? And when you take of this bread, would you be reminded that this bread brings life in a fullness that will leave you never wanting again? That same night, at that same meal that would serve to tell and remind God's people the story of God's faithfulness, of God's deliverance, of the anticipation of Passover. Yet when it came time in the meal to tell the great story of God's deliverance, Jesus continued to tell of God's great deliverance, but in a different way. So he raised up the fourth cup of suffering, and when God's blessing was upon it, he brought it low and passed it to all of those that were gathered around the table and said, "This is the blood of a new covenant, one that you haven't experienced yet, but I join you, but I ask you to join me in making it so today, that you would be stained by this cup, that you would wear it on your hearts, that the world would know who you belong to, because this stain doesn't fade, that this cup covers you and your sins, not only today, but the generations in the past, and this cup will never run dry for all the generations until I come as a thief in the night for you again." In the second Christmas, Jesus said, "As often as you take of this cup and you drink deep of it, you will no longer thirst for anything of this world again. Would you be reminded that you are mine and that I am yours?" I would ask our communion stewards to come up as they are helping with the passing of the elements today, and the ushers will dismiss you by rows. And if you can't make it up, would you please make mention to an usher so we would get the elements to you? And again, as the communion stewards are coming forward, because it is a great honor and privilege to serve the United Methodist Church, who makes it very clear that the only requirement for you to be welcome to this table is to simply come. To simply come, to surrender to Jesus all of our will, all of our stuff, to come up with holy hands and take of the bread and the cup, to rededicate ourselves to waiting on the Lord with anticipation of what God will do in us, through us, and in our midst. We celebrate these moments of an open table. The table is now open, and when our stewards receive their positions, ushers, you may dismiss, and anyone is able to go forward. The table is now open. to open our eyes so this season we are able to see Jesus. I'd like to ask our ushers to come forward again as we prepare to take our tithes and our offerings. Understand here that we have an opportunity to give the Lord of our first fruits from the blessings we've already received. Let us be honored in all that we are called to do. Lord, we have come here to serve you in this place, and we'd ask, Lord, that you would be glorified in all the gifts and tithes that have been laid before you, Lord, that they would do your work and be multiplied by your abundant hand. We seal these things in the matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. Can we please sing together number 230, O Little Town of Bethlehem. Number 230, O Little Town of Bethlehem. We sang together today, my dear friends, earlier for Joy to the World. We sang the wonders of God's love. The wonders means miracles that we can't begin to describe. It means miracles and mysteries we may not see today. But will we wait in anticipation for the wonders of God's faithful love to be revealed to us in God's time? Could we go forth today in this Advent season, waiting in anticipation on the Lord and serving while we are waiting? By the power of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit on this task. Amen.
I'm standing up here on behalf of the SPRC, Staff Parish Relation Committee.